Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We are live. Carl's just nipped for a wee. So it's great, this. And then all of a sudden, it's all right, mate. There's no one watching yet because I think it's all the advert thing. So I'm just going to chit chat for a couple of minutes, yeah, because you just nipped off for a wee. And funnily enough, I just got back. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. We are here to discuss the Newcastle game. It's kind of a bit of a sort of therapy session for everyone involved now, isn't it?
I think so.
Myself, Smarty, Jay and Carl are here. Welcome to the Berardi and Coke from the Ought to Know Better podcast. We'll run an intro and we shall crack on.
Hi, this is Don Matteo and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
Utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Morning, chaps. How are you doing? Are you both fresh and well after yesterday's wonderful day out at the Peacock as well? Afterwards, it was nice to see you both.
Oh,
you
lovely.
Here is Kyle. Kyle's muted. Kyle's looking confused and scared.
Hey, you all right, mate?
We were working 5 minutes ago. He's gone for a tinkle and he's come back and now he's looking all confused. Jay, lovely to see you again, mate. Yesterday,
did you have a good day? Yeah, you too, mate. You too. I enjoyed myself overall. I were a bit pissed off at not winning that game, but you know.
You're always really angry, and then you come down a little bit.
I am.
Once we've seen you, we've put his arms down, and you say, "Come on, mate, it's not that bad." You
that's know, just what I need.
You seem to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. I need that. I'm a bit upset that you pissed off before I really got to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's probably a good thing, really, because I'd have probably made you more angry and then sent you off on your way.
Probably, so, yeah.
Carlos, how you doing, pal? Are you well?
Doing all right, Jet. Not too bad. I'm not as angry as Jay. No. I was actually fine this morning. Right. Brought the dog for a walk.
I brought the dog for a walk.
Yeah,
I'm not drinking beer and it being sunny. I mean, this size of my head, you know, it's like it just soaks all the sun in. So it's like, fucking hell. Chaps, we drew with Newcastle 2-2 yesterday. I thought we were a half decent game, to be honest. What are your thoughts overall on the performance and the result?
Go on, Carlos.
I was actually quite happy with the performance. We had good spells where, you know, we looked like we were going to cause them a lot of trouble here and there. But again, we'll touch on it later. It just comes down to our finishing and leaving ourselves a bit open at the back when we do try and attack. But it does seem to be more under control at the back than it has been in recent months, which kind of gives me a little bit of confidence. And I'm still, you can call me what you want, delusional, whatever you want. I still think we're going to stay up because I think West Ham, they're going to be fixated on a second leg, might win that. then Spurs, well, let's be honest, they're being very Spursy at the moment. Like, so why the hell not? 4 points there from the last two, I think.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I'm upset about elements of that game, but overall, you can't knock the team performance, I don't think. We matched them, more than matched them at times.
Mm.
We didn't go in there looking like a shite team against a top team at all. We gave them a real fight, and for me, we had large parts of that game. We were the better side. We were doing the same shite passing at times and giving the ball straight back to them, putting ourselves back under pressure, but we seem to deal with that better than we have in the past. And like Carl said, we seem more solid at the back. We're not all at sixes and sevens anymore. And I don't know if that's
all at sea.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that's partly because of the keeper change and it's calmed them down a little, or, you know, if it's just something else that Sam's managed to implement. But they look decent at the back. They Firpo were a bit mental again yesterday. That fucking penalty. I mean, I'm still upset. I'm still really upset about this. And
which one, the fact that he handed the ball after being fouled, or the fact that Patrick Bamford spooned one?
The fact that Patrick Bamford spooned one. I mean, I feel kind of bad because I've proper slated Bamford about this, but there's also an element there of the management shouldn't have let him take it. You know what I mean? That's on them.
Hmm.
But I'm just
an opportunity,
so
though,
isn't it?
It's an opportunity to get your striker to score a goal and give him that little confidence boost. But it hasn't had an effect on it. You know, if he does what he did yesterday, it all goes to shit and goes downhill. Although I don't think he played that badly. I mean, let's talk Patrick Bamford standards. Bamford standards.
Hmm.
I don't think he played poorly. You know, he were you know, put the cross in for the first goal for, you know.
Yeah, that was decent.
Rodrigo header that he saved, and then Luke Ayling blasted it in. Although that said, if Bamford had probably been on the receiving end of that one, he'd have probably fucking hoofed it over. Or
he'd have skied it, wouldn't he?
So I'm kind of glad Ayling were there to just tuck it away. And
he manages to miss the unmissable. It's a special talent that he's got.
Yeah, Leicester. I would have been disappointed in Ayling, to be fair, that he didn't go and do the Robbie Keane with Robbie Keane. I mean, what's that all about?
I saw the replay of the goal there this morning and his celebration, and that's the first thing that came to my head. He was like, he's got the dude there who can show him how to do it properly.
Just
fucking do it, man.
He's just waiting for Spurs game when he smashes in the winner in 80th minute and he goes and does Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane's there outside of him. Doing it.
Robbie Keane joins him on the sideline.
I mean, that's what I mean, yeah. Going back to Bamford, he didn't have a terrible game, but there were things that he did screw up for me. Like, there was one where there was a ball put over the top for him and he should have crossed it. And instead of doing that, he booted it straight out for a goal kick. And there was the penalty. You know, it's those little things that take away from an overall performance. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean about the shot. He just completely spooned it into cop, didn't he?
Yeah. And the problem I've got with the whole penalty thing is, like, people like yourself will say, oh, yeah, it's an opportunity to get your striker back on the score sheet, getting firing for these last games, you know, that'd be great. But Bamford's a person that we've already seen proven can't play under pressure. He was banging goals in when there was no crowd, and ever since, he's just not been the same. And I don't know what's going on with him, but he's not a man to put everything on his shoulders when the chips are down, do you know what I mean? Not for me.
Hmm.
See, I tend to disagree with that. Sorry, just a sec, Schmert. No, I tend to disagree with that Bamford and no crowds thing. I don't think that's anything to do with that at all. I don't think it's anything to do with him not being able to handle the pressure. I just think he's just in his headspace isn't right at the moment. He was out for a long time injured, very long time injured, came back, scored last season, out again. You know, he's had a horrific run of kind of inconsistency with his timing from when he's been fit to when he's been injured. And you thought when the World Cup was on, he'd come back after that, but he was still bloody injured. Like, you know, so I'm not sitting here defending everything that he's, you know, done badly or, you know, anything like that. But I think you kind of have to look at it from if you were in his position and your head's gone, you want to take that penalty. You want to take it because you want your head to get in a good space. And the only way to do that is by scoring goals. Now, he did get an assist.
So
which would probably do his confidence the world of good as well. But overall, I thought he had a very good game yesterday in spells. Like he held the ball up well. There was an instance in the first half where he held the ball up on the wing, and there was two Newcastle players around him. Now, Bamford's role, in my opinion, in that team is to hold the ball up and bring players into the attack. And when he was over there and he was surrounded by two players with no out ball because Ayling hadn't progressed up the pitch far enough and McKinney didn't offer himself in the middle, he lost the ball and there was people around me like giving him grief. And I was like, he's got no option there. What's he meant to do? Like, you know, you can't look at Bamford and put it all on his shoulders in that respect. So I think he done all right yesterday. I used to play up front Sunday league, obviously, but if you're having a bad spell and there was a penalty up, you wanted to take it every time. You just want to smash it and make sure that it goes in. Just unfortunate. Nick Pope's a very good keeper. You know?
Yeah, he is a very good keeper. And as one of the comments, we came up against
I think it was Stu Nick that just flashed up across the screen there. Yeah, Bamford didn't technically miss it. You know, it was saved, but you'd expect a better quality sort of pen. I mean, you just look at, the second pen. Well, we'll go on to that. But the first pen, he tucked it nicely. I mean, Robles nearly got an hand to it as well. You know, it were close. Yeah. But when you look, I mean, for Bamford, and I don't want this to be a Bamford bashing pod because, you know, I think over the course of the last few seasons, really, we've said what we need to say about Bamford, you know. But when you look at the contrast between Bamford and Callum Wilson that were, you know, it's just chalk and cheese, isn't it? And, you know, it's only a couple of seasons where you could have put a piece of paper between them both.
Yeah, definitely.
For the quality and the standard that they were both playing at, and now it's just like, holy shit. You know, they literally couldn't be any further differences.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at it from that sort of view, but like you said, Kyle, you know, Bamford's just missing that confidence. However, at this end of the season, this crucial time of the season, we've taken Melier out of the team and put Robles in because his headspace is clearly fucked. And for the same exact reasons, why aren't we doing that with Bamford? And using
that's
him maybe
exactly what I said on Twitter.
Or maybe even like, rather than bringing Aronson on, not that I've got anything against Aronson, we've said enough about him as well, but rather than bringing Aronson off to try and, you know, make an impact, why not bring Bamford on? Because those defenders know, on his day, Bamford's a good player. He holds the ball up well. His shooting's there or thereabouts sometimes, possibly. He's got one in him, so to speak. But it gives the defenders something to think about as well. Rather than having to run around after Rodrigo, whose movement, I do believe, is probably slightly better than Bamford's now. That's my personal opinion, you know. And the goals, the goal tally this year, you know, it's there. It's there for everyone to see. So I'd probably start with Rodrigo up front and then bring Bamford on later in the game, but I'm not a coach.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, in that sense, but it's you have to show some form of confidence in your striker. If that striker then gets a goal, that lifts the whole team, not just his confidence. He sees the team buzzing around him then as well, and that runs right through the team. Now, I understand Rodrigo is our, 12 goals this season? If Bamford's not on the pitch, Rodrigo takes that all day.
Yeah.
It's
like what we've already said, though. If Bamford's the main man, and people want him to believe he's the main man, and when he thinks he's the main man, he's on top of the world. If he takes that ball, it's like anyone else. If you're the number one striker, which Bamford is our number one striker, the number one striker takes the ball and puts it on the penalty spot. I think Allardyce said in some of his post-match interviews that, you know, it was the same before he joined, you know, so he let it go. But however, it might change going into the next few games if we may get some more penalties. Hopefully we won't give any away, but that's a separate conversation. And I'd give it to Rodrigo every day. I sat in South Stand with you and it were right there, and I was literally hiding behind one of my mates like that.
Oh, I couldn't look.
I was like, he's going to miss this. I don't think there were many people in the whole stadium that thought they were going to, but I was praying.
No, everyone around me thought praying they were going to miss it.
Because I think he'd have gone on to have probably a few more cracks at it. And I don't think he spoons shots like he did, you know, shooting the other way in the cup and stuff. But it's one of them. It's a confidence game. We ain't got much time left. We need to react and make some sort of changes. I think for my, you know, personally, we drop Bamford and we bring Rodrigo in, put him up top. Maybe have Nonto playing behind him as a number 10 or even some of it lost. Make some sort of changes.
Where's Ruta? What's he doing?
That's peeling oranges. That's a conversation for the main part, I think.
Most expensive bloody tea boy that we've ever had.
The thing is, though, lads, you know, we've seen it time and time again. When a new manager comes in, you can't make that many drastic changes. No. I mean, they've clearly seen, or I don't know how he's performing in training. We'll never know. But there's clearly something that's stopping him putting him on the field or putting him, you know, especially in a starting position.
Yeah.
It might be one for next season. Who knows? But there's clearly something not clicking there. I mean, but then again, when a manager comes in, you can't make too many drastic changes because it just blows everything out of the water. The guys won't know what to do. You've got a completely different striker playing in a position where Bamford or Rodrigo normally play. So it's like, do you really want to make too many drastic changes because it could go absolutely to properly to shit?
Oh, yeah.
So far, so good. We've played pretty well. I mean, on the whole, the performances haven't been that bad.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. I wanted to win that game. Like, if you'd offered me a point before the game, I'd have been like, oh yeah, sound. But watching the game, I'm really disappointed that we didn't win it because we should have done. We were on top of it. But before sort of Allardyce came in, I don't think we got out of that game under Javi at all.
No.
I think it'd just been another Melier horror show and a collapse.
I think like you've said, Gracia's time was well up, you know, well and truly up on it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you couldn't see any sort of points. I mean, given the fact that they've sacked him with 4 weeks to go, says, you know, everything that, you know, the board were thinking as well at the time. He should have gone sooner, but we said that again, you know, about Marsh as well. But I mean, what can you say about it, really? I mean, it's the last throw of the dice.
And we are.
He's only got a short amount of time to be able to change things around, and like I said,
throw of the Allardyce.
And it seems to be working. I'm more confident now with Allardyce than I was with Gracia, because when Gracia were in charge after the Palace and Bournemouth fixtures, I was like, right, we're down. That's it. There's no coming back from this. That's us done. We'll probably set another record for May for you know getting most goals in May against us and fucking unreal. But now I've got a little glimmer of hope with Allardyce. Hopefully all the other fixtures this afternoon go our way as well. All the results.
God, I'm nervous as hell watching all this.
Yeah, hell of a.
And the fact we have to wait till Monday night as well for all this round of fixtures to be complete.
Well, so I think Forest are probably going to survive now. It's definitely possibly between us and Leicester and Everton, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But we'll see. Anything could happen at this point. And like, teams will win games that you thought they had no chance in, but then lose a game that they should have won. And it's just the way it goes. We're gonna struggle from here, I think. But poor old Paddy is going to get absolutely destroyed if we go down, because people are going to blame him because of the miss at Leicester, the penalty against Newcastle. I mean, I'm fuming with him still, but it's not all on him. But
people
can
be angry, like you said.
Those things didn't help.
With Bamford.
Those are the things people will focus on, though. It's going to be Melier and Bamford that get it, mate.
He's not the fucking reason why we can't transition the ball from defence to midfield.
No,
it's not Patrick Bamford.
But he can't
the ball
finish
from midfield.
He has cost us.
But other players have cost us too.
It's strikers.
You look at the way we're playing now, lumping a ball up to Patrick Bamford against Man City, and lumping a ball up again. I mean, both Man City. What is going on there?
What
is that? You, Carl?
Your dog licking your mic or something?
No, he's down
there.
I muted him, and it's gone away.
Well, obviously, because you can mute. What?
No, I was just checking if it was coming from
you. Sound
like you were rustling a bag.
Really loudly.
Probably my chair, is it?
No, it wasn't that. It was like...
I've done nothing. I haven't barely moved.
I've completely lost
anyway, it's gone. But Newcastle and... like I said, Newcastle and Man City are very, very, very good defensively. They've got some great centre-backs. So lumping a ball up, you know, in that kind of fashion to Bamford, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. But I don't think he did that badly. I really, really don't.
Who was their centre-back, that big lad? He's fucking absolute
galoot,
monster of a chap.
Like a friggin', like a bungalow.
I don't know what he was. Like the gable of a house.
No tubs. It was
mental. Like, and like you were saying there, Smarty, it's like, why are you lumping balls up to him?
The big fucker.
When he's not going to win them balls, like, at all.
Someone suggested to me,
I think I can't remember who it was in Peacock. It might have even been Luke. It were either Luke or Lindsay, and they said that Bamford bullies defences. Mm. I went, sorry? What, like online or something? Because he doesn't do it on pitch. Let's be right honest.
Well, he doesn't do it on Twitter anymore, does he?
He doesn't do it on Twitter anymore, no. Because of
Coleslaw
some
says, the crowd died after the missed penalty and the one we gave away. Yes. I've been awesome to Lent and after half time. Yeah, we were great, you know, until all that happened. Like, it was so refreshing to watch us, like, compete with a top team like that. So refreshing. Mm. It showed me that these players don't give a fuck. They do care.
Like, even Paul McKenney had a great game yesterday.
He had a really good game. Shame he blasted that shot over, because it would have been hilarious to see him score and everyone, like, fucking cheering him and that after all the shit he's had.
Yeah.
It were not to be.
Yeah.
Sven Botman here he goes.
Callan is crackling.
I'm not doing it, and I'm literally sitting here.
Do you know what I think it is, Cal? She's using a fucking phone to do a podcast.
You're not supposed to fucking tell people that, dickhead.
You're not supposed to be firing too much anyway. It's bloody, it's only, there could be kids listening to this, lads.
Sorry, kids.
They know better than that.
Sorry, man. Like, there's only one dad here. This is the thing. Like, there's only one responsible dad.
You guys don't think about that.
I can swear in front of the dog. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. We're more men behaving badly. And you're like, Mr.
Unruly,
dad.
Uncouth individuals that you are.
Something like
absolutely.
That,
yeah.
How did you think the referees got on yesterday? The refereeing team got on yesterday. The Jordy's in the green.
Are we getting on to this one now? Like, this is...
Yeah. I'm sick of watching
Bamford. He was shocking. Yeah. That ref yesterday, the bald twat, was absolutely shocking. That, like, there was... What was it? The foul on Ayling that led to their penalty... was just unreal. Like, how did the linesman who was 5 feet away from it not give it as a foul? And then the referee to not give it as a foul either. Like, the ref yesterday was absolutely shocking. To not see the foul on Firpo for their second penalty.
Yeah.
Even though he looked at VAR. It's like, what, like, the incompetence is unreal in referees lately. And I'm still convinced that conversation we had last season where, is it gone again?
It's gone a bit weird.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Do you know what, Carl? It's upsetting me that much. I am going to rebuild one of my spare laptops and I'm just going to, like, bring it to your house and force it on you and make you use it for the rest of the season.
We'll start a GoFundMe. We'll do a GoFundMe for Carl so we can get him some proper gear. Unless there's anyone else out there that works for a tech company or anything like that that wants to donate a laptop to Carl. Poor Carl.
What I'll do is I'll take a picture of my setup so that people have an idea as to what I'm working with. Hold on.
It's probably the microphone bit on your headphones rubbing on your top.
Oh, right. How's that? That better? Just leave it away from it, will you?
For now it is, right. But we'll see if
we need we need to make a little stand out of cocktail sticks for your microphone. So get a big lump of cheddar out of the fridge, Carl, and just stick a couple of cocktail sticks there and make yourself a little U-shaped... mic holder. Mm.
That's it.
Only cans. He's got an only cans as Carl.
It's just pictures of him and dog with a lot of empty beer tins around him.
That's all right. I can do it. That's some heartwarming quality content.
Fancy sculptors made out of tins of Carlin and shit. Like, just laying around his room. Oh, look at this. It took me 3 weeks to build this.
Oh, man.
I think the refs gave miles too many free kicks away in the first half. It was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't help that Newcastle were literally throwing themselves and falling over and diving. I mean, it was nice to see a ref actually book someone for diving. I can't remember who it was.
I think it was Isaac, wasn't it?
It could have been.
Yeah.
Nice to see him actually, you know, do that, because there needs to be more of that in the Premier League, especially against these wankers like, you know, Newcastle, because fucking hell.
Players like that. He had such a bad game up to that point, he had to fucking book someone. Like, you know what
I mean?
He was terrible. It's absolutely shocking. That's the worst ref I've seen at Elland Road all season.
Funny how differently, like, both sides see it, because I've got a mate who's a Newcastle fan. He's over in New Zealand, so he'll watch it at like 4 a.m. or something over there. So I'm going to put it down to him being tired. But he reckoned that the ref was all right. It was us stopping play every time they attacked. We were just trying to break it up. We were fouling on purpose. He seemed to think I was making it up when I mentioned one of their players doing a flying knee on Ayling when he were on the right wing and took him out. So he didn't acknowledge any of that. And he seemed to think that Firpo should have been sent off ages before he was. And yeah, I mean, that I disagree with pretty much everything he said. I thought the ref was shocking. I thought the fact that Ayling got fouled in the build-up to that penalty, and it wasn't even checked, that's the worst part. Because yeah, if that's not a clear and obvious error that has led directly to a goal, then what is?
How many times this season have we seen, and not just us, you know, other teams affected by them kind of decisions where they've not actually looked at the build-up of play, they've just looked at the actual incident and completely missed it.
There seems to be a thing with this where, like that handball against Arsenal or at Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, and
Trent Alexander's through ball, with his elbow.
But they seem to say that if it doesn't directly lead to the goal, then it doesn't matter. But how does
even
it
though
not
it did
directly lead
it's
to
part of the build-up play?
The consequent play doesn't happen without those events taking place. So I don't understand where the cut-off is for this direct involvement and how they define that, because it's bollocks. And we still haven't got that thing about audio being released and decisions explained, which is what we were told we were getting. That were publicly said, and it's just disappeared again because they don't want to do it. Because they know
they
look like arseholes.
Yeah. Cole Saw and Toast in the comments makes a good point. He said his Newcastle supporting mate thought the ref was giving us everything. Was he watching the game with his eyes closed, was he? Because
we might have the same mate. Cole Saw, does he live in New Zealand? Because that's what mine
absurd.
Was.
Yeah.
She's in the house. She's in the house.
Hey.
Julie's here.
What's up, Julie?
She's up early.
Did you hear the Newcastle fans singing "You're Not Fit to Referee" after we'd been singing it? Did you hear them sing that?
I didn't notice.
No. It was only a mumble.
Much, to be fair,
I'm surprised you didn't. You're literally only five seats behind me, or whatever it is. But yeah, we were singing "You're Not Fit to Referee," and then they were like, "We're all looking at like, what the fuck are you saying, man? I'm giving bloody everything. Shut up, idiots." I was just going to say, the disallowed goal, I mean, you could clearly, anyone with a pair of eyes that aren't blind could see that it was miles offside, a good couple of yards offside. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's a goal. Oh, they're celebrating. Oh, we'll just trot back to where it was and we'll put a flag up.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
We all knew. Everyone in South Stand were like, why aren't you putting your flag up?
I was just waiting
people screaming. Why aren't you putting your flag up? Just put your fucking flag up.
It was that obvious that I wasn't worried about the fact it had gone in because I knew it had to be overturned.
The thing is as well, like, I don't get it. I don't need that. Like that's one of the most absurd rules they've introduced, is that don't put the flag up until the phase of play has ended. How many times have we nearly seen players get injured through the phase of play up to the point where the linesman's like, all right, that's it now. And you're like, it's taken away from the flow of the game by not just getting it up straight away so you can get the ball moving again. Like, goal scored yesterday. I'm glad it wasn't a goal because you could clearly see it was offside. Like, but you got to put the flag up. You've got to, like.
We've spoke about it before, innit, about, like, what's going to happen when someone does get injured, when one of these passages of play is allowed to continue and it should have been stopped. And I mean, what happens if, like, someone 2 foots through one of your players and should be sent off, but then the game's pulled back? So does that erase what's just happened, or do they still get a red card? Or
for me,
it's just,
I mean,
it's
like,
stupid. It causes more ambiguity. You should just put the flag up if someone's
off. It's stupid. So say you were caught offside, right? But the flag didn't go up, but then we broke, for example, and then went and scored at the other end.
Mm.
For example, what happens then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you play advantage? What are the rulings around that?
And
they don't know themselves.
Well, exactly. It's down to interpretation, isn't it? It's bollocks.
I can understand waiting if there's players, if you want to see whether they get involved in play. But when it's a guy who's through and he receives a ball and he's off, like, nothing else is of any consequence. He's off, so put the flag up.
It's bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah,
I just don't get it. If obviously they'd have attacked ball, if they'd attacked the goal, we gathered up the ball and went to play it. Then do they then put the flag up? Oh, you were offside, so don't matter.
Yeah.
Or did they just play on? Did they play advantage? I don't get it. I don't understand.
but I don't think we ever will. But yeah, at some point, that will happen, and then we'll it'll probably be us, to be fair. And then we'll end up getting a chuffing goal at the other end, and then they'll come back for offside, and then there'll be absolute hell on. Chaos. Oh, you're offside. Yeah, but we'll play advantage. Yeah, but, you know. Probably will happen, but you know what.
But they're not explaining anything, so it's fine. They'll just brush it off, like whatever.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The ref's decision-making yesterday was terrible anyway. There wasn't any kind of decisions that you could look at and go, yeah, that's fair enough. The only one he got right was when, was it Wilson was going off, being subbed off, or someone was going off for Newcastle, and they were going the long way around or whatever, and he booked them. That was the only thing. Sure, Bamford was walking straight off towards the halfway line. Joe Linton comes up behind him and pushes him in the back, and the ref doesn't do anything. Like, the consistency. Bamford. You booked Bamford. And it's like, you're absolutely off your tits. Like, there's absolutely no way he should be allowed to ref a game. Like, he can't make a straight decision. Like, and I don't know who's assessing these guys, because they need to be checked as well. Like,
PGMOL or whatever they're called.
Well, they're an absolute joke for now, anagram.
They certainly are.
A statement. Oh, we're really sorry that a referee is a shit and incompetent. We'll try harder next time. And then nothing changes.
Nothing changes. But anyway.
I see that you've starred a few comments, Jay, so I'll go through them.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Poor Carl, Jamis says, always gets blamed. To be fair, it is Carl that does get blamed, because it is Carl that's in the wrong. He's got a dodge back.
I put a picture of my setup up on the pod account for everybody's eyes. Just so, you know, you get what the lads are bitching and moaning about.
Oh, jeez. Is it Daniel 10-1?
LUFC Ramsey says, Rasmus was in men's yesterday. He looks better at centre-back. He had a cracking game yesterday.
Yeah, he actually does.
Yeah.
Or is it just really the magic of Werber? He can turn anybody into a player that's next to him.
I think it's... Do you know what? Like, I mean, obviously people have said, you know, defensively we're a lot better. On the whole, I think with Robles, I think with Werber being back at centre-back as well, because we always looked better with Werber in the team. I think, you know, that sort of a cumulative, you know, team and the way we're setting up, I think it's just miles better.
Yeah, certainly the keeper and centre-backs together look really solid now.
Cock in midfield was a surprise, but I'd say he did better there yesterday than any time under Bielsa, possibly. Possibly. But you've got a coach in Allardyce that, you know, he loves to defend, and he marks himself, you know, he praises himself on his on his defensive sort of strategical fucking soirees.
Can't speak.
You can understand why going off yesterday. It was a good defensive display compared to previous games.
Mm. Yeah, we're solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
Paul Senior, saw it on the square ball earlier that it's mathematically possible for us to be relegated before we kick off another ball. I think that, possibly. I think that is possible. That's providing that Everton beat City, and I think Leicester. Who are Leicester playing tomorrow?
Liverpool on Monday.
Is it Liverpool? And then obviously because we're a Sunday kickoff, all the games, you know, go in their favour next weekend before we play.
This is ridiculous.
Highly unlikely. But yeah, like you say, mathematically it could happen. Which is fucking great.
But if it does happen, if it does happen, there'll be a West Ham ticket for sale Saturday night.
Just go anywhere.
I'll go anywhere. I'll drive all that way just so I can boo at the bastards and tell them what I think.
Boo! Boo!
I'll take a megaphone and a vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
Were you happy with the formation yesterday? 4-3-3.
I thought we were all right. I thought it did the job. We looked good, so Can't complain about that.
Yeah,
it's the straight passing that fucks us up, not the formation.
To be fair, I think our passing yesterday was probably the best I've seen all season in relation to completed passes, because there was no kind of panic on the ball in certain areas of the pitch where normally it would have been just, get it away from me, I don't want it. Like, obviously we had a few of those, but not the consistency of what we've been looking at all season. Like, under Marsh, it was just ridiculous. It was like, they were just playing the ball into a certain space and hoping to God someone was there. They weren't even looking. Like, yesterday, I want to say organised, in a way, but not to get too ahead of yourself either, like, you know, that kind of way. But I think Foshaw coming on.
Yeah.
I thought
Danny's
Foshaw.
In the comments saying Greenwood was okay first half and then Foshaw second half worked better. Yeah, much better.
Foshaw was rock solid.
He's a Rolls Royce, isn't
he? Man, do you remember that down in the bottom corner near the away fans where somebody got through and Foshaw came fucking busting a gut back and he fucking tackled it?
They were St. Maximin, the bandage man. Yeah.
The bandage man.
more bandages than frigging player there, didn't they?
The mummy.
It's one of them lads, isn't it? I mean, his contract's up at the end of the season. Apparently he's interested in signing an extension as well. Depending on what league we're in, do we take a gamble? I mean, on his day, and we've said it time and time again on this podcast especially, you know, he's such a good player. It could, like a lot of people will say, he could find frigging space in the crisp packet. You know, he's that good. But because of his inconsistencies with his injuries and stuff like that, is it worth a gamble signing him again for him to get injured in pre-season again and then, you know, sit on bench for
six months? If we don't give him a contract, how much do we spend getting someone else to fill that squad spot? Do you know what I mean? I think you've got to weigh that up. I don't see him as the future going forward for us, but he's definitely someone I would keep in the squad because he loves the club. He's been in these fights with us. He's done it all with us. And he's good experience to have. And you know that he's reliable, he's solid. He won't let you down. He might not be spectacular, but he'll come on and he'll do his job and he'll do it well most games.
I thought when Foshaw came on yesterday, I think I might have said it to you in the pub afterwards, I thought he epitomised the Bielsa mentality with the way he played, with how aggressive he was in the press when he needed to be. That challenge you were on about Jay on St. Maximum, he cleared 60 yards to make that tackle.
Who was a bloody good player. When I saw him come on, and obviously he trotted over to the left wing and thought, oh, Ealing's going to have an absolute big And he deployed the Ealing flops in circumstances, to be fair, because all he did he basically played them at their own game. As soon as he felt a hand or anything, bosh, straight over the ball.
There were
a young lad, I don't know what his name, the young lad for Newcastle that came on. The blonde lad. Not Gordon. There were another kid on the left-hand side. And they were having a bit of a tussle, and soon as he felt a thingy, bosh, he was down at floor. Bing, free kick. It's like, you've just been schooled, mate, in the art of the floor.
He did it about four or five times. It was great. And I love that when he does it, he grabs the ball straight away as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to give him a free kick.
What are your thoughts on Firpo now? Because apparently it wasn't a second yellow card he received. It was a straight red, apparently.
Was it actually?
Apparently so, yeah. So it's not actually just for a game ban.
Just for being pushed in the back and giving away a penalty, he got a straight red.
Straight red.
Well, surely we have to appeal that.
I hope so, but that's what I've seen.
That's the case.
I don't know if there's any truth on that one.
If that's correct, the ref's done us a favour there without realising it, because we wouldn't have been able to appeal if it were a second yellow. Now we can.
True.
So,
yes,
fuck that bent twat.
That's Sunday viewing. So, given that he might be, he probably will be missing for the next game. Who do we play or what do we play? I think Matt, it was a straight red card. I would go with him, Rasmus, and Verber at left back.
I'm not sure.
What are you?
We could put strike back there.
Strike on a quality couple of minutes.
Than he did at centre-back at any point this season.
Mm.
I don't know, me. I think, well...
You lose a lot of the going forward momentum with Strike at left-back because, look, he was getting into it quite a bit, to be fair, when he was playing there quite regularly. You could see him getting more confidence to get forward and whatnot. But I think he's been out of the starting 11 for a little bit too long now for it to be just a natural thing to fit back in and give us that bit going forward again. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, I'd maybe look at, like Rasmus has played left and right back for Salzburg before he came here. Or was it Leipzig? Salzburg.
Salzburg.
Before he came here. So he's played it's both left and right back, you know?
Salzburg, Leipzig, it's all the same.
Red Bull, yeah. So I'd look at maybe putting Rasmus to the left and trying to limit the changes that you make at the back. Really try and limit the changes because it seems to be working whatever we're doing at the moment with players.
You don't mess with that goalkeeper and centre back pairing now for me for the rest of the season.
So you'd leave Rasmus in there with Werber?
Absolutely would. He's not done anything wrong there for me.
So you'd put Strike straight in at left back then?
I think so. I think if you have Strike at left back and then you have Harrison in front of him, Harrison will cover a lot of that ground that Strike maybe won't. He'll do the running back and picking the ball up deep and stuff.
But you see, that's where we lose the impetus going forward. Like, if Harrison's having to drop that deep, then we lose that out ball to Harrison because we're
to a degree, but if you've got, if you have two up front, say, you can have a guy come across into that corner when needed, and you've still got a guy in the middle. So I think it can be made to work, certainly, in our
to agree with Matt, if I'm honest. I think if Cooper, Cooper's probably the best choice out of him and Strike. I'm not a Cooperating bastard, are you?
He used to be.
I was the only one with a clear conscience here.
I was briefly when we got into the Premier League because we were having a couple of nightmares.
You do change your mind a lot, you don't you, Smarty?
Like a ginger knickers, mate. But if Cooper is back, then I would put him as centre back with Rasmus, which I'd never in a million years thought I'd say. But it depends how he wants to change it. I mean, he might completely change the style against West Ham because West Ham are poor. You know, they're down at the bottom of the league. We've just played, the teams we've just seen, they've just played Newcastle and Man City.
Yeah,
it might be a completely different setup. So we don't know. We're just guessing, aren't we?
Would you give that a go that Coleslaw says? Harrison at left back and Nantawar.
Harrison at left back.
Instead.
Didn't Marsh try that once and it didn't end well for Harrison?
Yeah, but didn't everything Marsh tried go wrong?
We're not looking to repeat the same messed up mistakes.
There's no way Allardyce puts Harrison at left back.
I don't see him closing a guy down.
I don't see him closing a guy down in the corner and blocking shots and crosses. And
yeah.
I just don't think that's his game. He's going to just get bamboozled trying to sort of hold somebody in the corner and tackle him.
Caught playing as holding mid meant McKenna could get could play as an advanced eight. That's why McKenna looked a proper player. Like we've already said, McKenna looked really good yesterday. He was getting fired in. I also think, you know, I love the fact that he's getting proper fired into stuff. And Rodrigo. It's like he's got a new fire in his belly.
Yeah.
Do you think his mate spouting off has motivated him to put an effort in and show that he does give a shit and he can be a good player for us?
We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of controversy around this, isn't there? Because on one hand, you've got that argument that, you know, because of the backlash he's had from the fans and on people online and his mate running his mouth on social media, has that thought, right, I've really got to pull my finger out here?
Yeah.
Or is it because, you know, a change of a couple of coaches, well, obviously he didn't play under Marsh, but, you know, change of style, change of direction, change of, you know, everything, really. Is it an improvement because he's been now playing in his proper position further up the field?
Or is there that kind of putting himself in a shop window for the close season?
That kind of worries me a little bit that he's played well when he's played further forward, because that just means he's very limited as a footballer if he can't just drop deep and play in different roles, you know, in midfield. So although he did play quite well yesterday.
Go on, mate. Sorry, carry on.
Sorry, man. Although we did play quite well yesterday, we have to look and assess that particular side of his game, because if he's that limited, then you're going to be carrying a player unless they play in, you know, he's not going to be able to move around the midfield and perform at the same level as he is when he's played further forward, you know. So we kind of have to look at that when we're assessing whether, you know, who we buy to play in behind him now as well, like, because we can't play him in any other position, anyway, you know.
I think he's gone regardless. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, yeah, we're probably a box midfielder.
I think they'll negotiate a break in that deal somewhere.
I think they both have. I think it'd probably be best for both.
I think we'll end up paying Juventus a few million to let us out of it rather than paying the full.
We've already given them an initial loan fee.
Oh, yeah, we'll pay some sort of penalty charge to break it, I think. That's what I mean.
I don't know, might be worth just not paying anything and playing blind ignorance again. For,
well, no, for best.
See
that worked well last time.
We were promised a box-to-box midfielder, and I think that's due to the backlash was because that we weren't seeing that from him. You know, defensively, he seemed slow and uninterested, and attacking, he didn't seem to offer anything. But something's clicked, and he now seems to offer. I mean, he gets stuck into these challenges. He gets proper stuck in. And he looks to just be playing a lot better. But you know, who knows? Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
But
Do you think what that have had a lot to do with who was playing behind him? Like, we had Cock and Forshaw playing behind him then, who he can probably have the most confidence in to be able to defend and play in that position to give him that freedom. Do you think does having those types of players around him have that much of an influence on him, like, on how he plays?
When you've got that experienced head with Forshaw, and obviously that, he was playing with Rocker. I mean, Rocker's come under a bit of fire, hasn't he, this season for his abilities and their lack of abilities. He seems to go missing quite a fair bit sometimes in games. Whereas, like you say, you give him the license to be play a little bit more freely in that. But we don't know, mate. There's been that many frigging changes. We don't know whether we're coming or bloody going, do we?
Nobody knows what they're doing or what's going on, do they?
So,
crackers.
If you had to do like a season review of this season, right, you could be taught, you'd be like War and Peace.
It's going to be a long episode,
God, it's just mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's dependent on how we finish off this season. I think we'd be fine. Like, but that's going to be an interesting pod. Either way.
Oh, it really is.
You know, I'm dissecting this. You're down it. Oh, you're swapping.
Yeah, he's gone swinging in his caravan.
Keys in the boat.
Key swapping.
In the Lynn Peninsula.
Pampas grass growing outside.
Lynn Peninsula whites.
I'd just like to ask who Richard supports, because he seems to be having a pop at us about a few things in the comments here. Nice little pop.
Yeah, totally.
United.
Yeah, totally.
He says,
totally
just for the audio, guys, seeing Smite's just read that in his head silently. what do you think about the Leeds United fans going into the Newcastle technical dig out? That's what he says. And push Eddie Howe. He need to be banned, Elland and Leeds United. I think he means banned from Elland Road. And Leeds United need to be fined letting him onto the pitch. I don't think we let him onto the pitch, Richard.
Yeah.
I think
it's not like someone opened a gate and said, go on, mate, go and chin out for us.
I mean, have a go there, lad.
You watch any football match, there's not a solid line of security around the pitch, and there are no fences for obvious reasons these days. So these things are going to happen occasionally, and I don't remember the last time I saw someone get on the pitch at Elland Road. So it's not exactly like we're a bunch of animals that are always like kicking off and jumping over barriers. So, yeah, I mean, the guy were an idiot for me. I don't know what he up to achieve. Yeah. I don't know why it's Eddie Howe that he had a go at. If he were going to have a go at anyone, should have gone up West Stand and had a go at Rads, you know what I mean? But, he's been banned for life, and rightly so. And I don't think anyone on this podcast is going to condone what he did. So,
no, I mean, if you're entering the field of play, then you deserve your lifetime ban. Because it's
Has he got that already?
Yeah,
he was arrested and he's been banned.
Yeah, Gilly keeps sending his email to see if he's got on season ticket list now.
Does that mean I've moved further up the line?
Oh, look, 2001.
Poor Gilly.
Sorry, Gilly. Hope you're enjoying your walk.
I was looking at a couple of stats earlier. Fouls, we had 16 and they had 14, yet we picked up 4 yellow cards and a red, obviously, for Firpo, and they only picked 2.
So some would say that the referee was being slightly biased. I mean, we've already covered the ref, but I mean, fucking hell.
That doesn't make for great reading on the part of the referee, because quite frankly, it just shows how inept he was throughout the game, and that should be used to down him to the championship or something for next season for the first 6 months. Because for him to have a performance like that, and then you can see what the stats are, and you're like,
exactly,
how's he done that now? Let's be honest. That is possibly one of the worst performances from a ref I've seen.
They had 14 free kicks and we had 13. They had 14 fouls and we had 16, yet the cards completely tell a different story, don't they?
Yeah. It's almost like the guy had an agenda.
Almost. It's almost as if when the South Stand started singing Who's the Geordie in the Green, there might have been a tad of accuracy in that.
But, a little bit.
Dodge Projects says it's my birthday, 28th. Hopefully stay up. So, yeah. If we don't, we can blame him. He's cursed us.
If we don't, he's got a birthday to celebrate anyway, so...
Yeah. Oh, that'll be a great birthday for him, won't it? Jesus Christ.
Hopefully just get blind drunk and don't remember.
Underpants and socks.
That's what the rest of us will be doing, isn't it?
A link set.
I've got to give a special mention to Robles for yesterday. I thought he were great. He was like an absolute lunatic. He were G'ing the crowd up. He were getting people going. He were bollocking players when they didn't do their jobs.
Yeah.
I thought he were great. Really enjoyed seeing that from him. That's what I want to see from a keeper.
The only thing I was a little bit apprehensive with was when he started to dice a little bit with the referee at the end when he was...
I thought he were brilliant.
He got a booking and then he continued to just push his buttons a little bit too much, and I was thinking, if you're not careful, the way this guy's officiating this game, you might be walking sunshine.
The guy I stand next to, he says, oh, this ref, he don't need any excuse to give you another card. Stop. You just calm down. Exactly. Come on.
Yeah. And then we'd have had Papa Dom Flappy Wrist come on in his place and probably lost about fucking 6-2.
Jesus Christ.
I was watching from behind the goal for their second penalty, and he was pointing in the right corner where he put it, Wilson put the first one. And the lad next to me was like, he's going straight down the middle. He should just stand in the middle. He's going to go straight down the middle.
Did you see Did you see the guy, the goalkeeping coach on the bench saying like that? He literally went like that.
Did he?
Yeah. And Robles saw him. I think that's why when he dived right and he went straight down the middle, why he was obviously he was so frustrated because he'd conceded a pen. But I think if he'd have just... But then again, it takes balls to just stand there. And imagine if he'd have just smashed it and had just caught it like that.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah.
After all the shit they were giving him as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's off, wouldn't they? They'd have been ruined.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, all in all, chaps, I was quite happy with the result. I was quite happy with how we played. I'm not so. I mean, obviously, we couldn't do anything about the second goal because it was a penalty. But the first penalty, it kind of falls into him, doesn't he, a little bit? There's kind of a bit of a tussle. They kind of fall over each other, and then Verber comes in and kind of cleans him out. But if we need to stay in this Premier League, we can't be giving up sloppy shit like that every game. That's three penalties in two games.
I know. It's not good. And bad, it's like I said yesterday, you know, in isolation, we got a really good result there. But because of the situation we're in, we needed the 3 points, really. And I'm really gutted that we didn't get it. And I'm just nervous and worried now. I'm going to be like a nervous wreck for next week. You know what I mean?
I'm really worried. I think there were fine margins in the last two games. Like McKennie's header against City, you know, if that goes in, it's 2-2. Like we get that goal at the end, it's 2-2. Even though they've missed a penalty, they've missed multiple opportunities. That's the fine margins, you know. And then the one yesterday, again, Bamford's penalty miss, they get two penalties. They didn't have a sniff, really, apart from the two penalties. You know what I mean? Okay. Some stat about Callum Wilson on Twitter this morning, and I was like, they were talking about him like he had this unreal game, and he was on par with Haaland, and he was this and he was that, and it was like, he didn't do anything except take two penalties. He didn't do it.
And had they not been given those penalties, I don't believe they would have got a draw against us.
But they didn't score from open play, apart from an offside goal.
No, no.
So we win that game 2-0, regardless of whether Bamford misses the penalty or not. The referee, I'm not trying to say that all the blame lies at the ref. We have to take some responsibility as well as a team. But the two penalties, they didn't do anything else. Yeah, there was nothing else that worried me in the sense like it was Man City going forward when they were coming forward against us. You know, there was nothing. I didn't feel worried at any point.
And if we can restrict the third place team who are trying to secure Champions League football to just scoring from set pieces, penalties, then why can't we go out and beat West Ham? Why can't we go out and beat Spurs?
And yet I'm the mental one here and you're the worried one, like, you know what I mean? So
it's all right. That's it. Jammy's looking after me.
I'm more confident going to these next few games, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like you say,
we've
limited these top, you know, at the end of the day, the two teams from the top three of the Premier League, and we've limited them, like you said, to you know, we managed the game against City. I thought we did really well. But like you said, to come away with that result after the way we played against Newcastle, we should have been 2-0 up after that penalty, and we'd have been absolutely cruising. But unfortunately, that's football. It's you know, evident of how our season's gone. But I'm definitely more optimistic for West Ham.
Oh, special mention for that free kick that I think was it Trippier did that went straight to Ayling at the edge of the box. We just passed it to him basically.
Oh,
in the game, that was something we'd do normally.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, chaps, a good game. Looking forward to West Ham away, even though it's in London. But
I'm going, so
I know. Well, I hope you have a good. I hope you've been doing. Take a lot of luck.
I hope so, mate.
Thing is, though, like we haven't had the worst kind of records or performance going down to London recently. Like we've not done badly there, whereas normally we've been getting hockey.
We haven't won, have we?
Brentford last season, you know.
No. Well, this. Yeah, but the thing, what I'm saying is, like, we went to Spurs, we lost 4-3. You know, we went to Chelsea. Yeah, we lost 2-0, but they had a dodgy penalty as well. You know, they weren't performances in London like we're used to. You know?
And they've got a European final as well to play this week, haven't they?
Yeah, and we beat them last season in their place.
Well, no, it's the second leg of the semi.
Yeah, but still, they'll be playing the best team, though, won't they? It's not like a bloody FA Cup tie or anything.
Oh, God,
you know?
No, yeah.
No, no.
They won't be playing the youth. They will be playing their best players. And then a few days later, we'll be playing
them. That.
So,
don't,
you know.
Will they get into the Europa League next season if they win that?
No idea.
You do get something for it. You get into another competition. I'm sure it's tiered. Could like, be. If you win Europa League, you go to Champions Probably League. Is. If you win Probably Conference, is. You go to Europa League. Think anyway.
Maybe it's something you can discuss on this week's podcast, Jay.
Maybe so.
It's I believe it's you two and Gilly. In fact, no, it isn't. It's Gilly, Jay, and Luke on this week's.
Oh, wonderful!
The Ought to Know Better podcast,
like a rose between two thorns.
I'm sure you'll be able to dig out some facts for that one. But unless you've both got anything else to say, I think we've rambled on for enough time now. We're nearly an hour in. I think we've done it to death.
But it was a nicer podcast today. You know, it was a nicer, more to take into the next game positivity than actual previous B and C's.
Confiscate any razor blades off Jay or anything like that. So.
Yeah, that's it. It's nice to see that it looks like the curve has now flattened out and may be starting to go back up, maybe.
Two games, lads, that's it. Point against West Ham, three against Spurs.
Robles has conceded the same number of goals against Man City and Newcastle as Melier did against Bournemouth. Just think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just talked about not slagging players off too much, like, and then you come out with something like that.
Getting a bit excited again.
Not slagging him off, I'm just saying we're on the upward curve now. We're at the trajectory.
I think Jamie loves this podcast too much, if I'm totally honest.
he's corrected it there.
We need people like Jamie.
Yeah.
We do need people like Jamie. Thank you to everyone else in the comments that have kept pinging in and kept it going and interacting with us. We do appreciate you. If you haven't done already, please like and subscribe because, you know, we're growing as a channel and we're doing all right, you know. We started out with about 5 people that used to watch us, and now we're getting quite a few. So thanks for popping on and getting your comments in. Chaps, it's been an absolute pleasure. Go and enjoy your Sundays. And like I say, the guys will be back on Tuesday for the midweek podcast. But until then, I will bid you farewell. Take it easy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.